What's the most important lesson that you try to teach aspiring vocal music students?
Well, you know, they have to have a passion for the business, because it's not easy. And I teach master classes and privately in New York and around the country where I perform. I just did a master class in Palm Springs. That's where I was this past weekend, working in a wonderful club there that I work twice a year. And then after I work the club on the weekends, I hold a master class at a place called the Musical Theater University. And it's with teenagers, you know, like 17, 18, in that age bracket. And it's called The Art of Performance. So as far as developing a career, I'm not sure about that. You just have to work very hard and stay with it and get lucky breaks. But as far as performing is concerned, I always say you perform to the audience, not for them, which means that you keep your eyes open and you look at the people and you sing to them and you relate the lyric to yourself and to them. So it's all stories, you know, there's wonderful stories in every song. And hopefully you sing well, and that will further your career if you're a good singer and you sing in tune. But to believe in the lyric and convey the lyric to the audience is the most important.
Now, I've seen some vocalists who don't believe in the lyric or don't convey it at all, and the audience almost immediately responds with indifference. It's somewhat automatic, isn't it?
Isn't that interesting? I do see, you know, American Idol and all those, which of course they're on a television show, so you're not sure how sincere that applause is. But I do watch that when the microphone stuck up in their mouth very close so you can't see all of their face. And the eyes closed, you know, they go for the high note. And as you say, Chris, the lyric doesn't mean anything. They're just going for sound and loud notes and strong endings. It's fun. I'm always very thrilled about the comments after one of my shows that they say, you know, I didn't feel very good today, and I've had a terrible week, and I almost didn't come, and I'm leaving here really happy. I'm so glad I came, because you've made me feel so much better. And I think that's my job, is to perform for them and let them relate to the lyric in whatever way, either with me or developing in their own minds their own stories. But then so many people say, I cried all the time, and my usual answer is, ooh, it was that bad, right? That I sang that bad. But I'm joking, because they'll say, no, I was so touched. Kathleen Turner, you know, the movie star, was in my audience in not too long ago, in October, in New York, and she was so complimentary after it was over, and people said they watched her watch me, and at one point she cried, and that's a great compliment.
Could you tell me about your first meeting with Steve Allen? I believe he saw you perform in Kansas City many, many years ago.
You're right. Actually, he heard a recording that I did, and of some original songs. At that time, he was involved with a record company, and his partner in that record company took him the. It was a demo record that I did, people send records to record companies, and in the hopes that they will pick up the original and put their label on it, and that's why it was sent, was that in the hopes that they would pick up the demo record of it, and I recorded some original songs, so his partner in this record company took it to him and said, I want you to hear this singer from Kansas City. And at that time, Steve had a national show. It wasn't the Tonight Show. It was long after that. But he had the Steve Allen Show on a Sunday, I believe it was, and it emanated from California. And he just called me and said, I want you to do the show. And I came out and did it, six times. And on the last show that I appeared, before the show ended, it was on its way out by the time that I did this last show, and an executive from RCA saw me and called and said, I want to record you. And that was in 64, and my first album came out in 65. But I had worked for many, many, I'd worked since I was 10 years old. And I had my own radio show in Topeka, Kansas when I was 9 years old. I won a contest the prize was your own radio show for 13 weeks, and that was my prize when I was a little girl. And then I was staff vocalist at WHAS in Louisville when I was 20 and 21 and 22. And then I went on the road and worked lots of clubs and lots of theaters. I've done Dolly and Mame and Stephen Sondheim's Follies, those particular Broadway shows. Mostly I've worked nightclubs, and it's been a really fun career. I'm very blessed because I have my voice and my energy and my mind these days, so that I can continue working. We were just in Palm Springs at this wonderful club that I work twice a year. It was the club where Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin and all of them came to play, you know, after their shows. And so it was called the Purple Room. And I've done it twice a year. And then I work all the clubs in New York. New Year's Eve will be at Birdland Theater, which is a great club there. And you've heard of Birdland, I'm sure. You've got a jazz show, Chris?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. And then in February, I do jazz at Lincoln Center. There's a wonderful club called Dizzy's. I've worked every year for the last 5-6 years. And we'll be there for, I think we do 6 shows there. And in April, I do Feinstein's 54 Below, where I spend every birthday there. And we do 8 nights there. And in March, where are we in March? I don't know. I come to you next Friday.
Next Friday night.
I'm thrilled about that.
Yes.
We're thrilled about that. We were just there in September, I believe. And so we're coming in again, and I'm thrilled that they at that wonderful club. It's a great room. I think it seats about 300.
Yes.
And so we're pleased. We've done it several times in years past, but we're really pleased to be coming back there again. And we'll have some Christmas songs and some, you know, it's all the American Songbook. I just got the award from the American Songbook Association in New York, a Lifetime Achievement Award. And we get a lot of Lifetime Achievement Awards these days. I think that they think I'm ready to kick off any minute, but I'm not.
Marilyn, could you tell me more about your early life and career?
I lived in Topeka until I was about 11 or 12, and then we moved to Des Moines, Iowa, and I went to high school in Des Moines. And that's where I had my own radio show on KRNT there called Marilyn Entertains when I was 15 and 16. And then from there I went to Louisville, Kentucky. They heard me on one of the shows in Des Moines and hired me as staff vocal. In those days, there was a big orchestra. And can you imagine on radio? And we did shows with a small group twice a week, and then on Friday nights for an hour, a big orchestra accompanied me. And I think that's probably what gave me the experience to do the symphony concerts that we do now. You know, it was a great experience in my 20s.
And of course, you were famously on Johnny Carson's wonderful program 76 times, which is amazing accomplishment.
Exactly. Well, it's the record for a singer. There's no singers that have been on any more than that. And he was very good to me. Of course, we were recording with RCA. And I hope you've got some of my recordings. Do you?
Yes, I do. Yes.
Oh, good.
Right,
good.
Here we have Meet Marvelous Marilyn May, and then The Lamp Is Low, and then Step to the Rear, in fact. We also have that, too.
Oh, good, good. Well, there's more. I'll send you some CDs now. And you know, it's wonderful. It's YouTube has certainly made the world conscious of us. You know, there's so much in YouTube now that we like. I know there's we did Hollywood Palace, a national television show, prime time television show. We did several of those, and some of those are still on YouTube. And then the Ed Sullivan Show, there's a certain way to find that. And even in clubs, you know, people will sit there and record you, and somehow it does show up on YouTube.
Yes, through their iPhones and all that stuff. Could you tell me about your friendship with Ella Fitzgerald?
Well, she was a doll. She was my dear friend. The comment that people quote about her is that she called me the greatest white singer, but that sounds out of context. They would ask her on television shows. She's made the statement several times on the Carson show and on several others that people heard. When they would ask her who she loved to hear, they would say, "Well, I love Carmen," who, you know, Chris,
yes,
is Carmen McRae.
Exactly.
And then Sassy. I listened to Sassy, which is, do you know that one? Sarah Vaughan.
Of course, the divine
Sarah
one.
Vaughan.
Yes.
Yes, and Sarah Vaughan. And then she, yeah, because of course both those singers are black, and she would say, "And my favorite white singer is Marilyn May."
Wow.
And so we were friends. We really were friends. We used to have long conversations in dressing rooms. I would go see her, and if I happened to be in the town, in the same town where she was appearing, and the same with her. You know, if she happened to be in a town where I was appearing, she would come, and then after the shows, we would sit together and have very long conversations. She was a darling, very shy, rather shy, and very sincere. I did a Lincoln Mercury commercial to Step to the Rear, incidentally, and a national commercial, and I was for 4 years. I was their spokeswoman, and for Lincoln Mercury cars, and and then the last year of those commercials, they decided to have guest stars with me. So of course one of them was Ella, and I have a wonderful picture of the two of us on either side of a microphone. And so she was a doll to me, wonderful. It's lovely to play New York because we have so many celebrities in the audience, and that's fun to work to people who know their craft and are lovers of the Great American Songbook. I work a lot with Michael Feinstein. We just did, as a matter of fact, we did Feinstein's 54 Below. He lends his name to that club. In last August, we were there again. I've worked several times there with him, but for a couple of weeks, we worked together there. And he's a great proponent of the American Songbook, as you know.
Yes, he is. And in terms of songs, I really got a kick out of hearing the lyrics to "Old to Billy Joe" from Step to the Rear. Got a kick.
Can you imagine me out picking cotton? I have a friend who said, "I play that all the time because I just love thinking about you out picking cotton." Because that's the opening line, you know.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, God, I know it. The A&R man decided that I should do some of those songs that are very not in my character. The things that I do at Dizzy's, at Jazz at Lincoln Center, are things that are a little more in my realm. But I'm thinking about relearning. I never really learned those words. I did it on the recording. And I need to learn that story and do it. I think it would be great fun.
And, of course, I also heard Sonny from that same recording. That was a mega hit. Played all over the radio, everywhere.
Yeah, I love that tune, too. That's great that you're bringing those up. We, you know, that all of those great songs, they live forever.
They sure do. Tunes like, for example, Misty, the Errol Garner line. You did that on one of your recordings.
Yeah. Yes. Well, thank you for keeping all of that alive. I think you have a grand station that knows the value of of presenting that kind of music to the teenagers. And I get a lot of young people in my audience that say I've never heard those songs before, you know, and boy, I really liked them, you know, and I'm so thrilled that you're exposing them to that kind of music, because that's very valuable in our lives. Those lyrics really say something. They're not repetitive. And you know, it's something to really learn about and know and appreciate.
Well, thank you so much, and I look forward to your appearance in Omaha next week. It'll be an unforgettable night of music, I'm sure.
I hope you'll be there, Chris. I'm bringing great musicians. Wonderful, my New York musician is coming, and there's a bass man in your vicinity that plays with me in the Midwest all the time, and many times comes to New York too to work with me. His name is Andy Hall.
Yes,
and he's a great musician, and has been with me for many, many years. I would say probably 40 years now. We've worked together. Well, maybe not. Maybe I don't think he's 60, but. Oh, probably for the last 30-some years he's been with me. And, you know, we work up in a lake resort called Lake Okoboja. And CBS Sunday Morning did a piece on me with Mo Rocca at Lake Okoboja. And in the summertime, I've gone up there. This will be my 64th summer in next August in Lake Okoboja. And Andy always works that with me.
Wow. Quite an accomplishment.
Yeah, well, he's younger. He started younger with me, but he's worked in Omaha with me for years, so he'll be with me, and then my great drummer from New York. So it'll be fun.